Hey, everybody. Welcome to the A1 Auto Body Podcast. Your host, Nick Sands. Today, I'm speaking with Eric Richardson from Marek Limited. Marek is a company that's emerging now, and they have developed something called the Marek Headlight Washer System. And it's a safety piece of equipment that actually will wash your headlights as you're driving down the road. I'm sure that I butchered that introduction, so I'm going to let Eric take it over from here. How are you doing, Eric?
I'm doing well, thank you. Yeah, very well. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I appreciate you having me, taking the time.
So why don't you give a quick description of what the Marek Headlight Washer System is and how it works.
Okay. It's a headlight cleaning system, and it from the switch of a dash inside the comfort of your cab of the truck, you'll be able to flip the switch, and it's tied into the reservoir, the window washer fluid reservoir, and with a separate pump and spray nozzles, two spray nozzles in front of each light, aimed at a certain direction at the light, it blasts the light with, I call it blasting the light with window washer fluid when you flip the switch. And it cleans the lights. Now, it used to just clean the debris and dirt off the light, but through working with the system and getting it changed just a little bit, because the snow on the HID and LED lights used to build up, and the pressure of the pump wasn't powerful enough to blast the snow off the light. And now, through doing some work with engineers, we've been able to get a pump that works to be able to blast the snow off the light as well. So it now cleans the lights of snow and dirt debris.
Man, how long did it take you to develop this system?
8 months. I worked on it every night, 5 nights a week, and then some weekends. I mean, not all weekends, but some weekends I went down to the yard and worked on it. There was plenty of times where I had given up, and it just didn't seem like it was going to be able to get done. It was way beyond what I had, and I kept working on it. My wife inspired me to keep working on it. And, because I guess at the end of the day, Nick, when you're doing something for safety and it's your safety, it changes kind of the way you're looking at things. And it was becoming too unsafe for myself to get out, clean my lights on the side of the road with these trucks. And there's lots of them now, a lot more than it was 25 years ago. And they just, they'll slow down a little bit. Some of them will, some of them won't. And so I had to build this system. It was important for me to do that for my own safety, and that's why I built it. And when I did get it built after 8 months, it was a really, really good feeling to be able to sit there in the truck and flip the switch, and I could literally see the illumination from dim to get bright right in front of my eyes. It was great. Fantastic.
Yeah. That must have been unbelievably satisfying feeling to get to flip that switch for the first time and have it work.
It sure was, because now the anxiety that came along with me having to stop and figure out a place to stop and then get out, run around and clean my lights. And by the time I decided to do that and stop and get out, clean my lights and get back up to posted speed, it took about 10 minutes. And in a 500-mile night, you do that 4, 5, 6 times, you're behind an hour now, and you can't gain that speed up because the adverse weather conditions and the road conditions aren't allowing you to go any faster than posted speed. So it always puts you behind. And now the anxiety of being behind the schedule is also something that guys shouldn't have to drive with. And it was a continuing negative effect on the way you were driving. And it just seemed like there had to be a better way and there had to be a safer way. And lo and behold, I worked and worked and worked and finally got it.
What was it specifically about? Like, what kind of made you want to work on this? You know what I mean? I feel like working on or like cleaning your headlights, at least for the average, you know, car driving person, like that's not something that they really, we really think about. You know what I mean? Like, what was it about this in particular thing that stuck out to you as a problem that needed to be solved?
Well, where I was driving up in the interior of British Columbia, Canada, my night run, I left Kamloops at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, and I would drive north and then east into Edmonton. And I was going through some big-time moose country. There was elk, lots of elk at Jasper National Park. And so in 2008, December of 2008, I hit a moose. Now, the fellow that I was driving the truck for, owned the truck, was also a very close friend of mine, very close friend. And his deductible through insurance was $5,000. And I thought, you know, and it just bothered me that there I didn't see a moose. And 6 days later, I hit another one, another moose, not far away from where I hit the first one. And with another one of my friend's trucks, my boss, and I thought, now I cost him $10,000. And, you know, for years and years and years, Nick, people and guys in the trucking industry and women, of course, there was no other alternative when you really couldn't see with the headlights that you had. So then they came out with more lights, and they decided to put bigger lights on their truck. And now all of a sudden these trucks were driving down the highway with six or seven of these great big lights, including their headlights and high beams. And the idea was so that they could see better. And sure, all these lights brought them, it lit up the world in front of them. But then when they come around the corner and there's another truck coming, now they shut all these lights off. And by the time they got them all shut off, the fella that's coming at you is blinded. And I got to thinking, because I was in that same, that's the way I thought. I thought, okay, so I put bigger lights on and some different kind of driving lights down below that were on a switch and so on and so forth. And then I got to thinking, every time I got out and cleaned my headlights, I could see just fine on low beam and high beam. So if I was able to have clean lights, I wouldn't be in a situation where I needed more light. So I wouldn't have to go out and spend $300 or $400 on a set of big old 6-inch spotlights for the front of the truck. I only needed to try and figure out a way to clean the lights and have the ample illumination from just the regular headlights. And that's when I began to start thinking about it. Then I left in 2011 trucking and came back 2015 and began to drive over that infamous Tokahala Highway. And there's a TV show out about that highway, and there's a towing companies on that highway. And it's a dangerous highway, but it's also a very dirty highway where you can come up out of a community that I was living in, go into some very serious snowstorm, and then come back down into – so you're – in and out of inclement weather. And I thought at that time, that's when I needed to start thinking about building a headlight cleaning system. And that was in 2000, probably the fall of 2017, I began building it. And in April of 2018 is when I had it finalized. And in June of 2018 is when I decided to get a patent and begin that process of doing that so everybody could have this. And here we are today. We're in production of the first 1,000 kits to come out onto the market very, very soon.
When you expressed this idea to other people in the industry, what kind of reactions have you gotten?
Well, I've had a positive, all positive. But you know, there are a lot of people, including some of these big corporations that I've spoken to recently, the last couple of months. If you're coming out with a new product, and even if people understand that it's a better product for you, it's going to make your life safer, it's going to make it easier, you still, Nick, I believe, and this is the way it's been happening, is you have to change the way people think. Because if it's for so many, forever, to be honest with you, people have stopped and got out, cleaned their lights. I'm talking about night truck drivers or emergency vehicle operators, police, whatever, school bus drivers. There's plenty of people that drive in the dark. And this is the way they've been doing it forever. And so now that this system is coming out, even though it's going to be safer, it's going to be one of the challenging things is changing the way they think. It's going to be not necessarily hard, but it's going to be a different way that they're going to have to change their way of thinking. Now that they don't have to get out, clean it, they just flip the switch. It's just a different way they're going to have to think, and that's part of the challenge behind this.
Since I had talked to you, I think we set this interview up like last week, I've been thinking about all the kind of different vehicles that could use something like this. And actually the first thing that I thought of was not even big trucks, but it was fire trucks.
Yes.
I feel like fire, I was specifically thinking about the wildfires they had in California was the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the fire trucks were driving around and you could see on the front and of their headlights were getting covered with ash and stuff.
That's correct. And
I was thinking, how useful would it be to have, you know, this system on trucks like that? So that way, you know, in that situation where light is super important and the ability to see, you know, could actually save your life. You know, how important would it be to prioritize something like that? Probably pretty important, you know?
You know, and that's definitely the market we're going after. We're going to run this market here for the semi-trucks. And in April, when the roads start to get cleaner, and we are going to have an opportunity to focus on some other aspects of the company. And there is some things that we are going to prioritize. And one of them is emergency vehicles. For example, police cars. You know, they literally have to be the first out there, and ambulances as well, to go out to these adverse weather conditions, accidents, and they're trying to get there as soon as they possibly can. And to try and outrun your headlights, I've done it. Many guys have, you know, when you get into a situation where you really can't see, but you know you got to go, and that's one of the parts of the automotive industry that we're going out at after, and the school buses. I think the precious cargo that they have, it is near and dear to my heart because my mother was a school bus operator in Canada. And, you know, they pick up the kids in the dark. They drop the kids off in the dark. And they need all the advantages that they can get to make their job easier, especially with, like I say, their precious cargo. And that's one of the first other applications that we're going to go and go after. I mean, we're going to go after all the market, to be honest with you.
Might as well, right? You're the only one here, so.
Well, this patent that was granted to me a month ago, or 5 or 6 weeks ago now, was it was an emotional day, to be honest with you there, Nick, because then I knew I had the only aftermarket headlight warfare system in all of North America. And the work that has been put in from Jerry McGowan and Paula Peterson and myself in the last 6 months to 9 months is unbelievable, the amount of work that we've done. It should have taken us 2 years. And here we are. And it's very, very exciting. And I couldn't have asked for a better team that we put together to have this being done, including Christina there, who you spoke to, and you know she's number one.
Yeah, Christina rules. Christina, thank you for setting this up for us. I really appreciate it. If you're listening, what was it like collecting that team of people to come work with you?
Well, Jerry was, and still is, of course, my first best friend. And we were in Malta together, little island in the Mediterranean Sea off the coast of Sicily. And he was my first best friend. We lost touch with each other for a while. I found him in Thailand, my wife did, in the early 2000s. And we became really close again.
Wait, what were you doing in Malta?
Our parents were in the oil fields in the Persian Gulf, and we were stationed in Malta after the Shah of Iran was taken over. And we were all, the American and Western families were moved to Malta to live while that turmoil was going on in Iran and the Persian Gulf.
How old were you at that time?
14.
That's wild. And then you guys stopped talking, and then you, like, reconnected?
Yeah.
2011?
That's correct. And I sold him half of my U.S. patent, and we've seen each other. He come to visit me, him and his family, beautiful family, come to visit my wife and I in Lake Havasu from Durango last Christmas, and it was the first time I'd seen him in 40 years, and here we are. We're he took over the company, as in getting it all sourced and the parts sourced. He knew what he was doing. He was he's pretty high up with oil companies and all over the world, as a matter of fact. And he knew what he was doing. So I brought him in, and then he knew of this young lady, Paula Peterson, and she's on the website as well. And she's a numbers girl, and we needed somebody like that. That was a very important part of the puzzle, because when you have something that's not there or no numbers to compare it to, you need somebody that really knows how to do the numbers. And this is how many we need to sell, and this is how much they're going to be, and this is how many we're going to have to. This is how. And she did all of that. She knows exactly what she's doing, and here we are. It was, you know, my wife and I look at this once in a while, Nick, and we think we certainly couldn't have done this on our own. So we feel fortunate, very blessed that we have these people that know what they're doing and have taken it to this extreme where we are now. And now as here we are. We have a monopoly on the only headlight, aftermarket headlight washing system in North America. And the Canadian patent is right around the corner. That's a beautiful thing. That means a lot to me. That's where I originally built the system, up in Canada. And the more I get out there, Canada is 100% of the market. And the United States is probably 60%. But I really want to get it out to Canada. That's important to me.
Can I tell you a funny story real quick? It just made me think of it when you were talking about reconnecting with Jerry.
What's that, man? Go ahead. Sure.
So a little while ago, I was thinking about when I was in like third, fourth grade, I had a friend in school, and he ended up getting removed from the school for some personal reasons. But, you know, every once in a while, you know, growing up, we were good friends, and I would think about him and wonder how he was doing and stuff. So about 6 months ago, I said, you know, I wonder if I can find him. And I ended up finding him on Facebook, and I sent him a message. And would you believe he didn't even remember me at all?
Well, I'll be damned. Are you guys are you in communication now still?
No. He was like, who is this weirdo? And then that was pretty much it.
You know, that's a good story, actually. It's but this story with Jerry and I, it you know, it's pretty cool. It's that you could take your first best friend 40 years later, go into business with him, and it's going to be prosperous. We're looking forward to it like you wouldn't believe.
No, that's a super cool story. I love the, you know, the serendipity of finding each other again. And, you know, these kind of, it sounds like you kind of found each other at the right time too. You know what I mean? Where you had this product idea and like, you know, you weren't planning on him being, you know, a guy who could handle all that stuff. It just kind of worked out that way.
Well, that's exactly what happened. It worked out. Like when I got back in touch with him, my wife got a hold of him in Thailand. And I had no idea what he's been up to. And then come to find out over the years, he's been busy. He's had a couple of companies and he's been busy working for oil companies. And he's educated and more so than I am. And so it was important to bring him in and continue that friendship as long as we can.
So you had talked a little bit about like how frustrating it could be when you were actually developing the system. What are some of the things that you remember from that time? Like, what was like the most frustrating headache that you can remember that you can think of?
Well, the most frustrating thing was once I had it all hooked up and I got in the truck there, I flipped the switch and it worked. I sprayed the fluid onto the lights and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. Then I turned it off and I got back out and I went around and the fluid's still draining out of it. And I thought, well, boy, that's not good, because if I got to keep stopping to fill up my reservoir every time I use this, there's no reason why I just don't clean the lights when I stop. So it was draining, the gravity feed was draining the reservoir. So I needed something in there, in the line between the pump and the nozzles, to stop the fluid from draining the reservoir. So I thought, okay. So I originally looked for a pump that had a check valve in it, and there's nowhere around. So I began to look for a check valve, and I found a check valve, but it wouldn't open under pressure. It just closed and stayed closed. It wouldn't let the fluid come through there. So I needed some kind of a check valve.
That doesn't sound like a check valve. That sounds like a block. That's a block.
Well, it had to close to stop the fluid from coming out, but it needed to open.
Yeah, once it closed, now it's not a check valve. It's just blocking it.
Right. So this is my thinking, and that's why it took me so long, probably because I was doing all the thinking. But anyway, so we went ahead and. And I looked at it, and I thought, well, and I started asking around. And a close friend of mine has a Mercedes. And we started looking at his Mercedes, and he had a headlight cleaning system on his Mercedes. And we were looking at it, and there was a check valve. It was a valve, a Y-shaped check valve, as a matter of fact. And it was between the pump and the headlight squirter, but it opened under pressure. Exactly what I needed. And I said, well, can I use it? He said, no. So I ended up getting one from a Saab dealer after phoning hundreds of places on this particular item that I was looking for. I got one from a Saab dealer in Miami, Florida, because Saab has a headlight cleaning system. And I got one from them, a dealer in Florida. And they sent it up to me. I put it on. And lo and behold, that was the answer. That's what I needed. It opened under pressure, and as soon as I stopped the pump providing fluid, it closed. And then when I needed it again, and then it was just a matter of moving the pump around, and moving the check valve around, moving some nozzles, and trying different nozzles just to get the best application that I could get. And the pump that I was using back in those days was it's applied 28 PSI to of pressure to the nozzles. So I went with a smaller orifice on the nozzle so I could get more of a jet spray, and that worked. But I couldn't get a bigger size pump. So through the sourcing here in the United States, Jerry found a pump at Aquatech, the pump company that's really, really bent over backwards to help us out.
It's called Aquatech?
Aquatech, yes, a pump company.
Oh, Aquatech. I think it's Aquatech. That sounds like a metal band.
No, Aquatech. They built us a specific pump for our application, and we're really happy they did. Now the nozzles or the pump is going to put out 55 PSI, so double the pressure that we had before when I built the original system. And the reason for that is because we want to make sure that it blows the snow and blasts the snow and gets rid of all the dirt and debris. And, of course, when you're doing 55 miles an hour down the road, it's going to blow it all off the side of the fender and back behind the light. And that's the with the aerodynamic lights that we're going after and the slip stream, I call them lights, the rounded headlights, you know, on most of the trucks. That's the design that we're going after. As a matter of fact, the design that we have is designed around the new 2019, 2020, and the 2021 Cascadia, the most popular truck on the road today.
Well, can you retrofit this piece onto any truck?
Yes, we have on our website some of the trucks that are available that will this kit will fit. Now, there's, we're not going to get it to everybody, but what we do need is for people to purchase one of these, get it on their truck, and then give us some input, because we just don't have enough on any trucks. We don't have any except for one. And we need this out there. And I'm going to be sending some to dealerships and distributorships and some friends, salesmen up in Canada and what have you, to get these on trucks. The most important thing right now, Nick, is that we need input from guys that are using it and utilizing this system, because I designed the system and we put it together, but until you get it on the truck and get people using it, you're not really going to know the faults of the system. You already know the advantages, but as for the faults, it's difficult to know until you get it used by not just myself, but more than a few people. And that's very important. That is really important of what we need to do the next phase of what we're doing right now, get these on trucks. And I'm hoping to do that with this 1,000 kits that we have. Get those 1,000 out there. In the meantime, we're ordering more as we go on with that. But get them on trucks. I mean, let's get them on the trucks and see what and get some input. And a lot of guys are going to say, well, you should do this. You try this. Let's try it. I'm game. All I want to do is make the best system that we can possibly make for every single vehicle on the market, whether it's a truck, a bus, police car, or an off-road vehicle. And let's get it on there so we can start not only cleaning your windows. It's you can clean your windows all day long and see just fine. But without a clean set of headlights, you're not going to go very far in the dark.
Another thing I think that's interesting about modern kind of headlight technology is that even like 10 years ago, the lights today are so much brighter than they used to be. So you really don't need those extra lights. Like you were talking about the extra spotlights on your truck. You really don't need those anymore, as long as you can keep your headlights that you have now clean, because the new ones are so bright. I mean, we've all been in the experience where you're driving a car and even like an SUV comes up behind you and they flash their eyes at you, and it's like they're giving you an x-ray practically.
That's exactly what happens. And so We all know, and these guys are driving around with these light bars on their trucks now, and even 6-7 years ago, they started coming out with these light bars. And the idea is, and I've been trucking for a long time, a long, long time, on some of the worst road conditions. Yeah, you shouldn't even have been driving. It was that bad. Nevertheless, if you can, like you say, keep your lights clean, you can see all day long. And now what's happening is some of these lights that are out there, I know Australia has been really cracking down on it. They actually passed a law that on the HID lights, if they have road grime on them, if you have HID lights, you have to have a headlight cleaning system on it. And so there's companies in Australia that are producing headlight cleaning systems. Because if, even in the daytime, you have road grime on the light, mostly at night, but even in the daytime, you have road grime on the light, it gets a glare, and that glare is what blinds you. And it's becoming a real problem. It's becoming a serious problem, to be honest with you. And they're trying to get it corrected by now changing the light system. But it's already out there, and people are using it. And I think, well, in the research that I've looked at, that is, it's, you know, these are reputable companies that did this research. And by 2025, it's coming here. And I'm just hoping and glad that I got my foot in the door before that 2025 gets here.
No, that's awesome. And one thing that we had talked about a little bit before the podcast was the ability for this to be affordable for everybody. So the price point on this is only like $350, which, you know, when you told me that, I was actually surprised how inexpensive it was. I was expecting it to be a lot more expensive.
Well, you know, like I said, when I first started looking at this system, I'm trying to purchase it, and I phoned the manufacturers across the country. And there were systems available. If your Porsche got smashed up in a car accident, the insurance company would have to spend about $799 to $1,199 to replace that headlight cleaning system on your Porsche or your Audi or your Mercedes or your Cadillac or what have you. And again, I'm thinking to myself, why is it that all high-end vehicles have a headlight cleaning system on it when it's not that much to put this together? Well, it was at the beginning, but now I'm thinking to myself, I need to make this affordable. It's going to be very difficult for me to promote something in the safety industry that's new and improved and coming from the safety aspect of it. Because remember, when I built it on safety. And I was finished building the system, and it never crossed my mind not once about a patent or the money that would have been involved like we were looking at today until June of 2018. 3 months later is when I decided to get this brought to the point where I could have it produced. So I never built this. And if I built it on safety, I have to, and I still intend to, promote it on safety. That was the intent. It still is the intent. And it's going to be difficult for me to put it out of range or justify promoting something in safety when you have it so far out of range that, you know, Joe's Trucking or Bob's Trucking, one individual that's just trying to make a living and support his family is gone all week. When he gets home on his 36 hours off, he should and be able to afford something like this, and that is my goal. I want to make it like that. I could go ahead and put it at $799 just like the rest of them, but that's not how you promote something in safety, and I wouldn't feel right to put something out there that's going to put it out of range for somebody. Everybody needs to have this. I think it's important that we get this out there. It's going to make guys' anxiety level go down when they, because their anxiety level is already there. Let's try and alleviate that anxiety by giving them one extra step that they don't have to stop and get out and clean their headlights. I mean, the manufacturers were correct in getting the window washing system. They got window wipers, and they got the spray up on the windows, and they got nice nozzles, and they back and forth in 3 or 4 seconds, you got nice clean windows, and you can see just fine. And why in the world wouldn't they ever have thought to clean the headlights? I have no idea.
When you say it like that, it does seem really obvious, doesn't it?
It sure does. I mean, it's just, it's bizarre. It baffles me to this day. And we've all been there. Every single one of us that's driven. You know, you pull into a gas station to get some gas or a fuel station to get some fuel. Sure, you get the cleaner out and clean your headlights and you clean your windshields and you clean your taillights and you know, all of the above. Well, hopefully now you just can get out and fuel up and carry on. I'm just trying to get this to where people don't have to stop on the side of the road. It was scary for me to do it, and I just don't want people to do that anymore. It's just not right. There's something wrong with the system if we cannot correct something like, and it's just simple. It's a simple thing, and hopefully maybe down the road, it'll be mandatory. I don't know. I have no idea how that's going to turn out.
The other kind of cool choice you made was, you decided instead of having it manufactured in China, you were going to have it manufactured in America. And I think it's just very rad that you made it, you decided you wanted it to be affordable for one thing. And then, which, you know, in general, when you think of that, you think, okay, well, how can we do that? Probably the easiest way to do that is to cut manufacturing costs, right? But you actually decided to spend more money on manufacturing and also make it affordable for everybody, which I think is just really cool and just kind of shows that your company really is in it for the right reasons.
You know, I can appreciate that. And believe me, one of the reasons why we were looking at China is because of the cost of what it was going to cost Joe, the truck driver, with his own company. You know, to try and keep it affordable for people to, you know, just the one guy trucking company to purchase it. That was the whole reason why I was looking at China. But after this pandemic that we've all unfortunately went through, and there was no way I could try and justify trying to sell something that I wouldn't purchase myself. And it was a good thing. It was a really good feeling when my team and I decided to change it and get a Made in America sticker on it. Now, it was challenging. It was literally challenging. And some of these companies they didn't want to have anything to do with us. The other ones stepped up to the plate and said, we'll build you a pump for your application. You can have a sticker on it, a Marek pump sticker on it. Shout out to Aquatech, exactly. And Spray Systems as well. They stepped up to the plate, built us a specific nozzle for our application.
What was their name?
Spray Systems.
Spray Systems? Shout out to Spray Systems.
Yes, shout out to Spray Systems. And they, you know, for these huge companies, and I mean they're huge, for taking little Barak on and bringing them under their wing and giving us that little bit of extra, was fantastic. It was just a really good feeling that they've done that, and we're gonna make it worth their while, I'm sure. Things get rolling here, and we're really gonna be successful with this. And the team that I put together, Nick, like I say, is unbelievable. The amount of work that they have done, the amount of work that we have done. It's really cool feeling when you have something, a dream is now coming to fruition, and there's not many dreams that come true, But if you want something bad enough, you can get it. And that's my motto now. And I say to my wife all the time now, that if you want it bad enough, you can get it. And I'm a perfect example of that.
Yeah, no, you're an awesome example of that.
Thank you.
What was it like going from just being kind of a, you know, just a truck driver to being a inventor? What was that kind of road like, and when did you kind of make the mental switch to being like, okay, like, I really want to do this?
It was when, I think about 2 years ago, when we moved to Lake Havasu, my wife and I, in May of 2019, we immigrated. We started the immigration process about a year before we left Canada. My wife's Canadian and I'm an American. We started that immigration process and then we moved down here. And when Jerry and I finally in January of this year, January 1st, he was here for Christmas, decided to get going and let's get this, either we're going to do it or we're not. And throwing it around and playing catch with it was something we had done many, many times before, but it was time to start committing. And with Jerry's commitment, I still worked. I was an equipment operator, and I still worked and was working right up until August 21st when I had decided to retire and go full-time with the company. And Jerry was already full-time with the company, and so was Paula. And they were doing the numbers and they were putting things together. And then in July, when we decided to change it over to a Made in America sticker on it, the company needed my assistance. And so I put the job shut down, as a matter of fact. So when that job shut down, August 21st, I went full time with the company, like I say, and three of us went full blast. Until here we are today, and in a very short period of time, Jerry's gonna take the company and move forward with it, and Paula as well, and I'm gonna just probably retire full time. Well, I know I'm gonna retire full time with my wife, Marjorie.
Buy an island with all that light washer money.
Well, I haven't been looking at an island.
You haven't been looking yet? Man, you got to start. You don't want someone else to grab up all the good ones before you get one.
That's possible. I'll have to have a look at that there. I'll Google it later today. But it's a very exciting time, and Jerry is committed to taking it to where it needs to go. He's inspired to do that, and Paula as well. And personally, I'm kind of burned out. I've been full blast on it, as well as working full time. And so I'm kind of looking forward to watching this grow from a distance. And I've got the right people put in place that can do that. I'm 100% confident that they can do that and they will do that. And so it's kind of neat to be able to and I'm looking forward to actually being able to sit back and watch these very close friends of mine take this to the next level. Very exciting.
How old are you?
I turned 55 in August of last year. This year, probably.
I thought you were like in your 30s or 40s.
Well, I appreciate that.
You kept saying you're retiring, and I was thinking, what are you talking about retiring? You got like 30 years left in the work.
Well, I set a goal with my wife and I, Marjorie, and when I turned 50, she bought me a pickup for my birthday, and I still have it, a 2015 GMC, and I said, you know, we're going to retire when we're 55, and we had no idea how that was going to happen, absolutely no idea how that was going to happen.
I love that confidence, though.
And it was, like I say, in 2017, I started building the system. And never, the whole time I was building the system, I never once thought that this was going to take me to retirement. And after it was built, 3 months later, I decided to get a patent for it. 2 years later, I got the patent for it and coming out in production. And I turned 55 August 17th, and August 21st, I retired.
Damn, and that's cool.
It was a cool feeling. Yeah, it sure was.
It just goes to show, just putting something out into the universe can be powerful. Just saying something like that has a powerful effect on how things happen.
It sure does. And I, like I said, if you want something bad enough in life, you don't know how. Sometimes when you say things, you don't even know how you're going to get it. But if you want something bad enough, you'll get it. It doesn't matter what it is, Nick. I'm a perfect example of that.
Boy, that is goddamn inspiring. I'm not going to lie, Eric.
Well, I appreciate that because this whole process has been inspiring to me. It's really, literally inspiring.
So you're no longer driving truck. Do you miss it?
You know, I look at trucks, yes, and I do miss it. I was pretty good at it, over a million and a half miles, accident free in 22 years. So I was pretty good, except for the boost that I hit. But
that's too damn boost. Screwed up your whole claim to fame there.
Well. For a while, they did. Now it's part of my story.
There you go. That's a boy. What a positive spin put on that.
Exactly. It was. And my friend John Vanderveen has been an inspiration. You know, the $10,000 that he forked out. He's been an inspiration for me to move this forward too. He knows why I built it, and. He's a very, very, still a very close friend of mine. It's pretty cool.
Now that you've invented something, like, cause let's call it what it is. You're an inventor now. Do you feel the desire or the need or even the want to invent something else or try and fix another problem?
Well, I think, I do. I want to make, I want to make it safer, and there are some ideas that I have. My team and I have went over it a few times, and we have some ideas on the back burner. I guess you can understand why I'm not going to talk to you. And
no, tell me
detail.
All your secrets. It's just us here. It's just us here, Eric.
But we are inspired to move forward. With other things, obviously it's in the transportation industry and it's in the safety part of that. And that's what's inspired me from the get-go. And that's the way I'm going to keep on moving in that direction. Because anytime that you can take anything to do with safety and alleviate some of the stress and anxiety behind, because at the end of the day, Nick, these truck drivers, and I was one for many, many years, They're under a lot of stress, and to drive through this adverse, look at the snowstorm that they had over in your area of the country. I mean, just recently, those guys got to keep moving.
Yep.
And they keep America moving. They keep Canada moving. They keep moving. And they need all the help they can get. So they come out with these e-logs to help these guys be able to do their logbook better. And I used one, and I didn't like it at first because I'm old school. But then when I started using them, I thought, well, this is a cat's ass. This is really cool. And the more people get used to this safety, the more safety is going to be in all aspects of the industry. And I think that's important, very important.
I would say trucking does seem as though it's particularly hesitant to embrace new things and not safety, but just new things seem to have a hard time holding on in the trucking industry.
Well, you're right. And back in the day when they came out with, and it wasn't necessarily around safety, but when they came out with the single big tire in the back,
mm-hmm.
You know, they took off the two dual tires and they put on the one big single. And And this is where we are. I mean, whether it was related to safety or not, what it is related to is changing the way people think. And for years and years and years, everybody always knew you had two tires back there on that axle, on that side of the truck. And now when it doesn't seem right to have one tire back there. So you had to change the way they think. And it's the same thing we're looking at now. We've got to change the way people are thinking in this aspect too, even if it's a safer way.
I know I have some my friends at Blackburn Energy who are I'd love to introduce you to them. I think you guys would have a lot in common. They developed a system for basically it captures energy, like wasted energy on your drivetrain as it's running. It turns into electricity, and then that way you can have abundant electricity in the cab without having to idle it during the night.
Wow.
And that's what they were saying, too, is they have the same thing where, like, they have to change the minds of the people driving and the companies and the they're basically going to have to change the whole system for just this little change, you know?
And that's the challenge. And I'm sure they're running into that, too. And, you know, once it's done and once every, you know, we have a couple of ways we're going about that. And one of them being is we just installed a headlight washer system on a semi-truck in Durango. And we had a film crew come in and they filmed the commercial. And there's different, we just had finished that getting edited. And now the narration's being done. And we're going to get that on our website right away here, as soon as possible. But it's going to show, there's a split screen set up on that. And the importance of that is, like I say, to change people's minds. And the reason why we're putting a split screen on that is, number one, the video will show the light being cleaned with the nozzle. So it'll show the spray onto the light. At the same time, the other side of the split screen is going to be that the illumination on a white garage door is about 30%, 30 to 40% illumination. You can see that. So in one side of the split screen, you're seeing the light being cleaned with the nozzle. On the other side of the split screen, you're watching the illumination get brighter on the white door. And so that's how you change people's minds. They're seeing it work, and they're seeing what it does when it does work. And that's one of the most important parts and the reason why we're coming out with this on the website really, really soon. Because as you know, a picture is 1,000 words. A video is like 10,000 words, if you want to put it like that, because that's how people have to see it to believe it. You know that.
Right.
And that's how we're gonna be able to show people what it does, at the same time showing what it's doing.
Yeah, no, I think that's really cool. I'm super excited to see that video. I would love it if when you put that up, please link it to me. I'll be happy to share it over here too.
Absolutely, it's coming out on the website. Like I say, we had to get the editing done, and we had to okay that. And then we went back, and now we got a narrator working on the narration of it. It's going on the website any day now, or any minute, I should say. We are working on it.
I can understand why you didn't hire me to do the narration, because we hadn't met before. But I'm sure that now that you've heard my voice, you realize how soothing it is.
I'll do
the next commercial, I'm sure.
Yes, and I've got you penciled in already for the next commercial we're going to do.
I can do a really good old-timey radio voice if you want. So.
I'll talk to my team about that, and we'll certainly keep you in mind.
Christina, set it up.
She's very good at what she does. She could do that, I'm sure.
Well, Eric, I really appreciate you coming on today.
Hey, you're welcome, man. That's it's been my pleasure, and you know, it's been like, you know, those cowboys that ride those bulls, a bull in a chute, you know, and And the cowboy's sitting there on the bull, and he keeps moving around, and he's getting ready to ride it. All he's got to do is hang on for 8 seconds. But he's ready, and he's getting ready, and he's moving around. And then the bull starts moving. And I've been waiting for so long for that chute to open so I can tell my story and get the word out that there's going to be a safer way for these truck drivers out there. And I'm just doing my part. And believe me, as soon as I can, I'll get this out there to alleviate some of the stress and anxiety of these truck drivers, because it alleviated my stress and anxiety. And I was one of you guys. I knew what you guys were going through. I was
So I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I'm not a truck driver. I am. I do body work on trucks.
Okay.
I've never, as a car driver, I've never even thought about the fact that like truck drivers would have to get out and wash their lights. Like it makes sense. It makes total sense that like you would have to do that, especially driving, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day. It's just like it's one of those problems that I feel like not enough people have been thinking about. You know what I mean?
Well, that's exactly what happened. Is there hasn't been enough people thinking about it because everybody's used to doing the same thing, and there's no solution out there. So if there's no solution to the problem, then the problem's just going to keep existing and existing. But in actual fact, if people sit back for a second and look at, and including some of these manufacturers, I'm sure it's a $100 bill because there's manufacturers in this country that own manufacturing companies in Europe that already have these headlight washing systems on them. And so these people, they're knowledgeable and they know about it, but for whatever reason, they decided not to do it. And it's imperative, I think, that, you know, it's not to me about the money. It's about taking the stress and the alleviating some of the anxiety that these guys are having, because they all do it. Every single one of the truck drivers do it. You know, here in Arizona, it's a little difficult to run down here to the truck stop. That's not one of these kids. But they've all been up in that area of the country where they're going to run into that. Even in Flagstaff, Arizona, just snowed yesterday, as a matter of fact. You're going to run into it.
I actually have one more question that I wanted to ask you. Can you install this yourself, or does someone need, do you need to have someone install this for you?
Well, that's a good question. And I...
Thank you.
I went over and above to try and make this as simple as we possibly can for two reasons. Some of these truck drivers, like we spoke to about earlier, they'll want to purchase it. And a lot of them are gone all week, and they come home for their 36 hours off, and they want to spend the time with their family. That's what it's for. They don't want to spend 6 hours putting in this headlight cleaning system. So what we've done is we've tried to get it down to about an hour to an hour and a half for two reasons. One, the truck driver that goes and purchases it from the dealership, that dealership is going to do the installation for them, more than likely. Usually that's the case. Well, if he's going to purchase it for this amount of money, he probably doesn't want to spend an astronomical amount of money to get it installed. So for an hour and a half for a mechanic to put it on, that's reasonable. That's acceptable for him to be able to afford that. Like I say, I'm talking about the one truck driver again, not the fleet operators that we have out there, many of them. And so if we can get these an hour and a half, anybody could put it in. The instruction manual is coming with it. There'll be pictures. We have, there's going to be an instructional video. Pardon me, Nick. On the website, that's going to be able to help these guys. So they'll get the kit. They'll see the instruction manual in the kit and the pictures and what have you. They'll start putting it together, and all of a sudden they're thinking, kind of like I do, I run over to YouTube and I YouTube it real quick. And I. But we're going to have videos on the website, installation videos as well. to just help guys along. That's important. And if I can get guys the installation done in about an hour and a half, that's going to be the bonus.
That's awesome, man. Well, I cannot wait to see it.
And I'm looking forward to it coming out as well. I'll get Christina to send you a message as soon as it comes out. This commercial comes out on the website.
Yeah, please do. I would see it.
And we'll keep in touch. It's really cool. And I've, like I say, never done any of these podcasts except for yesterday.
Well, no. Technically, this is your first. Let's not. All right. So mine's going to come. You recorded one more before this, but mine's coming out first. I just want to make that very clear to everybody that I got the scoop on this.
You're the man, Nick.
Eric, thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, you're welcome, man. And I appreciate you bringing me on and letting me tell my story, bro.
It was my pleasure. And I hope you have a wonderful night.
Yeah, you bet. You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Do me a favor. Head over and give Eric a follow on Instagram at merrick.ltd. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I hope to see you guys back again. And thank you very much.